Far, far away in heathen darkness dwelling, millions of souls forever may be lost. Who will go? Salvation storytelling, looking to Jesus, minding not the cost. All power is given unto me, says the Saviour. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Stand and sing. Have our moderator, Reverend John Greer, in our service tonight. We're going to ask him to come and lead us to the throne of grace in prayer.
Let's all bow together and we will draw near to the Lord. Let's all pray. O God, our Father in heaven, we bow before thee and we enter into the courts of thy presence in the name of thy dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for his person and his work, and for all the merit that belongs to him. And we rejoice that as we come to thee in his name and through that merit, we are accepted and may approach thy throne knowing that we are able to have the ear of God and draw an eye upon the ground of assurance and pour out our hearts to Thee. We thank Thee that there is a glad day coming when from every nation there will be a people presented without fault before the throne of God. We thank Thee for the blessed work of Christ that not only was accomplished at the cross, but is applied throughout time. We thank Thee for the work of the Spirit to take the benefits of redemption and bring them to the hearts of men and women, and draw out of the nations of the earth a people for Christ. We thank Thee for that great ongoing work. And we rejoice, O Lord, that at this very moment the Holy Spirit is in this world and He is working. And He is moving upon the hearts of men, awakening sinners, opening up the eyes of their understanding, giving to them grace, even the twin graces of faith and repentance, to seek Christ and turn from sin. And Lord, how we thank Thee for the gathering this evening here that will even focus on some of the nations of the earth where the work of the Free Church is represented. We thank Thee for this missionary weekend, and we thank Thee, O Lord, for the opportunity of gathering here even this night. We bless Thee for the work that is going on under our mission board and our missionary council. We thank Thee, Father, for all those who labor in these areas and who are seeking to further the cause of Christ and see His kingdom expanded and extended in a dark and fallen world. And Lord, we pray that as reports are brought this evening, Thou wilt bless those who bring them. As the praise of Thy name is lifted up, Thou wilt bless in that also. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt bless the presentation too, and that will be focused on Nepal, upon Kenya. We thank Thee, Lord, for what Thou art doing there, and we bless Thee, Lord, for even those who have had the recent opportunity of going there to see firsthand what the Lord has done and has wrought over these many years. And, O God, we do pray that Thou wilt bless Thy servant especially who will bring the word. We pray that Thou wilt fill him with the Holy Spirit. May he know God's power upon him as he ministers in the word. May that word of Thine come to our hearts with freshness and power. May we see something afresh of Thy Son. May our minds be turned toward the Christ of God. And may we hear Thy voice even to our hearts. Bless Thy servant as he leads and conducts this meeting. We commend him to Thee as well. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt undertake in every way. We look to Thee. We pray for times of refreshing in this service tonight. Come down among us, we pray. Touch our hearts, O God. We pray for that quickening influence of the Spirit. Pray, Lord, for a mind that will be focused on Thee. Lord, deliver us from self and sin. Deliver us from all that's merely of man. And Lord, come, we pray, and breathe on us from heaven. Remember the future of our missionary work. We cry to Thee. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt continue to bless. We ask, Lord, that Thou wilt meet the need. O Lord, let us know the vast need that is represented, even though we are but a small body. And we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt come and meet that need. And we pray, Father, that Thou wilt give us willing hearts. Give to us, Lord, that desire to give so that Thy work would go forward and be sustained and that every need would be met. Remember the ongoing work of the missionary endeavor of our denomination. And Lord, we pray that in days ahead there will indeed be blessed times under Thy mighty hand. Remember us now, remember the Church of God represented in the Free Church and among others of like precious faith. O God and Father, move in these days. We thank Thee for help given this week at our minister's week of prayer. And we bless Thee, Lord, for Thy presence there and the word that was preached and the power of God in the place of prayer. And yet, Lord, our eyes are toward Thee, for we turn to the One who alone is able to do what is necessary in our day and generation. Come, O God, with power. Lord, move in these days. Bring souls to Christ. And even as we think of the missionary endeavor tonight, we would also focus on the homeland, our own little land, and our nation as a whole. And, O God, what deep and dark days we go through. And we cry to thee for movings of God. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt pour out thy Spirit upon us and move again in marvellous power. Lord, save souls in all our churches. Raise up a fresh generation to take responsibility and stand in the gap in days ahead. And Lord, may we know the power of God to that end. Bless tomorrow and the Sabbath. May it be a glorious Sabbath. May the Lord come down among us all. May he tabernacle in our midst. And may much be done for thy glory. Hear as we pray and abide with us now. We give thee thanks for thy presence with us. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
I'd like to thank the moderator for leading us to the throne of grace in prayer. I'd also like to thank him for the encouragement that he is to the missionary work, to the mission board and to the missionary council and to our missionaries in general. It's always good to have a moderator that is missionary minded, and the Free Church has been blessed with such in all of its history. Last year, of course, was a very significant year for us as a Free Presbyterian movement as far as missionary endeavour is concerned. And there has been focus upon Nepal, Kenya and Australia in the past year. And we mentioned something of that last night. The programme is before you, and I'm going to mention what's happening, and then I can sit down and look and listen as well. We have, first of all, a missionary report from the Reverend Ian Harris, the chairman of our mission board, and he's going to tell us something about the work in Australia. Brother, we're delighted to have you tonight. We know that you've travelled this evening probably further than most have, and we want to give you a very warm word of welcome in the Lord's name. And then we have a DVD presentation, 30 years in the land of Kenya, and we're thinking of our sister, Miss Margaret Russell. And we're just going to focus in on the DVD on one day of the visit that we had. There'll be more things that we'll get to see in the coming days. Our sister Noreen will be over in deputation. There's the special meeting that we'll mention later in Ballymena, and other special meetings that will be held. But tonight we're focusing in just on that day of celebration that we had to rejoice with Margaret and the Kenyan church in all that God has done. Then our choir will sing, looking forward to the Hebron choir, and we thank them for their ministry. And then a missionary report. Reverend Graham again will come to speak about Nepal, and this time he'll be focusing upon the ordination, the new presbytery, and the future. So that's how the meeting's going to go in the will of the Lord. We want to welcome all who are taking part, and it is our earnest prayer that we'll know together the blessing of Almighty God. Thank you, Reverend Harris.
I'd like, first of all, to thank the Reverend Park for his very warm words of welcome. It's lovely to be with you at this very special missionary weekend here in Ballymena, and a joy to be able to bring a short report on the work of God in the great land of Australia. Would you please turn with me just for a few seconds to Psalm 67? In our opening praise, we were singing, "God speed the day with men of every nation." And this is based upon the words of such scriptures as Psalm 67. We are a church that believes in taking the gospel not only locally, nationally, but right internationally into the nations of the world. And God has given us, though we are a small evangelical Protestant denomination, he has given us a wonderful opportunity in many nations to present the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 67, verse 1, "God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Selah. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. I had the great opportunity of going out just some 2 years ago to visit the land of Australia and to go over Tasmania to visit our little churches and congregations there and to preach the gospel. And when I went out there, they were in a period of great bewilderment. The congregation in Kingston in Tasmania had been without a pastor for a long period of time, and there was no indication that one was coming. And furthermore, the people, they were, though faithful, were growing weary. You imagine a different preacher every other month, and someone that you've never met before, and once they're gone, someone that you're not going to meet again. So you can imagine the frustrations that those folk were experiencing. I went to visit Perth, and just at that time, the Reverend Michael Patrick had announced his intention to retire, and he was looking forward to his retirement. And so the people there also were looking to an event which they hadn't been used to for some 25 years of extended constant ministry. So 2013, as the Reverend Park stated, was a very significant year in the history of our mission board and the work in Australia and the little congregations that are represented there. After quite a few disappointments in the application processes, the Reverend Ralph Hall and the Reverend Philip Gardner were able to get their immigration permits to enter Australia, and enabling them to take up their respective ministries in Kingston, in Tasmania, and in the great city of Perth in Western Australia. The Reverend Ralph Hall and his wife Tanya and their children, James and Jack and Matthew and Emma, left Ulster in early October to take up the work in Kingston in Tasmania. And the Lord has given to his servants much grace, I believe, in settling in to that new sphere of service for him in their new home, in their new community, and in that congregation in Kingston to which the Lord has called them to minister. I think they're well adapting to the Australian way of doing things. Ralph wrote to me just after Christmas that they had their traditional turkey dinner on Christmas morning, and then they went to the beach in the afternoon. The furthest I got was to the settee to hear the Queen, but it's wonderful what a different country and a different place will do for you. He is greatly encouraged with the attendances. Those attendances have risen to 35 in the morning and to 30 in the afternoon, but for which we really do praise the Lord. And also, those prayer meeting attendances have really increased during the week. So our brother asked for special prayer. The congregation are planning there a week of special meetings early in this new year to reach out into the local community and pray that Ralph and the people will know the Lord's leading, the Lord's help and his guidance, and pray that through the preaching of the Word of God, people will be drawn in. That a whole area of Kingston and Tasmania outside of Hobart is known as the Bible Belt, and there are people there that definitely love the Word of God and love the preaching of the Word of God. Our brother's preaching through the Gospel of John, and pray as he preaches through those wonderful chapters that there will be many who will be brought to know the Saviour and come to know him as the way and the truth and the life. I would ask you to remember both Ralph and Tanya in your prayers, especially for their family. The boys, they have started a local primary school, and they're settling in very well. And the Lord has been very good to them, giving them friends and confidence and going out to school. And I want you to remember their daughter, Emma. Emma has to commence her secondary school life out there in one of the secondary schools. 900 pupils. 900 pupils isn't all that big, but it's such a shock to the system if you go from a small, independent Christian school in Portadown. So I want you to remember Emma, please, very especially that the Lord's hand would be upon her and help her to settle in. We know as parents that if our children are happy, we're happy. And so do remember the children of Ralph and Tanya, and especially Emma, very soon as she would commence that new school. The Mission Board would ask you to pray also that the Lord would bring in extra support for our brother Ralph. The little congregations there, they do their very best, but they do need that little bit extra just to keep them there. And if the Lord would lay this upon your heart, you can contact the mission board. Oftentimes when we think about the nations in the missionary context, we think about those nations in developing countries. Australia's not a developing country. It's one of the most prosperous in the world. But I believe for us as a church, it's one of the greatest mission fields that the Lord has opened for us. And I would ask you to please remember that little fledgling work there in Kingston, that God will really step into it and undertake. The Reverend Philip Gardner and his wife Cherith and their two daughters, Anna and Karis, they also have taken up the work there in Perth. Last Sunday was their welcoming service. And they not only had a welcoming service, but a luncheon in the church building for all who were attending. And there have been many adjustments that they'll have to make. Australia, or parts of Australia at least, are going through their hottest Christmas ever on record. Some of the areas have temperatures up in the 50s. That's a sauna temperature for us over here. And do remember them, please, that the hand of the Lord would be upon them. Pray for Philip's ministry in the great city of Perth, one of the most beautiful cities in the world that you could possibly visit. In a lovely church building. The man's just at the back of the building. And I believe God will give to his young servant many opportunities to reach out into that community to see others brought for the Saviour. And especially every congregation has its own needs. And I would ask you to pray for Perth, that God would raise up men for the offices of deacons and session in the congregation there. And that in the coming years, that we'll see God put men into those offices, that they can be a support and a help and an encouragement to our brother Philip. Cherith, and of course Tanya, as the wives, that they'll need your help in prayer, and prayed the Lord would help them to make new friends within and without the congregation, help them to adapt and adjust, and just know the Lord settling them in. And as we've asked for prayer for little Emma, the Reverend Hall's daughter, would ask you to pray for little Anna, the Reverend Gardner's daughter, as she starts her new school also later in January. The academic year in Australia is from January to December. And pray that the Lord will bless that young girl as she starts her schooling. The Reverend Ian Hall and his wife Jennifer and their family continue their ministry in Port Lincoln in South Australia, on the Eyre Peninsula. Port Lincoln, we could say, is the mother congregation of all the works in Australia, and the session in Port Lincoln carry a heavy responsibility in overseeing Perth and in augmenting the session there in Kingston. Our brother Ian has known wonderful encouragements over the past few years since going to Port Lincoln, and remember to pray for him as he preaches. God has given him some wonderful opportunities to share the gospel in the locality, going into the local prison, for example. And pray that God will open many more doors for him, and that the Lord will bless him and his three children and his wife Jennifer. He has the responsibility also of looking after the little extension work just 100 miles up the road in Lough. Lough is a little hamlet. It's not even big enough in our terms even to be a village. Maybe 100 houses, something like that. And there's a hinterland with a farming community in it. I had the opportunity to go up there to preach and to take the prayer meeting and their little Bible club for them. Our brother goes up there every Sunday afternoon, just 100 miles up, 100 miles down on Good Street Road. And pray the Lord will bless Ian and give him strength to perform all those duties. There's a dear brother up there, Trevor Spears, and his wife, Joy. And their family circle. And they carry on that little work in Lough. I was mightily humbled in going up to their meetings. And yet, though they're just a handful, they're there faithful every Lord's day with the doors open and the word of God going forth. and they're praying and they're fasting every month that God will send a breath of revival to Australia. They're sending out gospel literature every month right across the Eyre Peninsula, and they're praying that souls will be saved and brought to Christ. Will you pray for Trevor and Joy and those in the family circle there in Lough who keep that little witness open, that the Lord will bless them and bring others in, as our brother prayed in his opening prayer, that God will raise up a new generation to serve him. God has been answering prayer for Australia. I take it as a great token of good and encouragement that God not only called these young ministers to go out to Australia, God has opened the door for them to go, provided the means for them to go, and has sustained them in the going. And we want to see them further establish the works in Australia. Of course, the great problem out there is distance. When I got in the plane in Adelaide to go over to Perth, it was some 5 hours away. The distance are unimaginable in our context here in Northern Ireland. And we long to see other congregations formed. There are other little groups scattered across that great nation that love the Lord and are standing faithful and true to God. In the midst of all of the secularism of Australia, God has a people. He's some from every nation, and they're there, and they're faithfully serving him. And we're thankful for new contacts that have been made in recent days via the internet, and for new interest that has been shown within that land. It's very encouraging what the Lord is doing. And if God spares us, we hope that in the year to come that we'll hear further good reports of souls coming to the Saviour. And the congregation's been strengthened. God keeping his servants and raising up other new openings for them to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. When you remember the missionaries in Kenya, when you remember the missionaries in Nepal, those needy lands and developing countries, don't forget about the great nations of the world, such as Australia, where God has given to us a little opening to serve him as a church. Thank you.
We have a missionary who arrived here first. He's a Kenyan. And I've always been saying that he will stay in Kenya. She will stay in Kenya. We said we are going to open the school. And we started this school. And we have principal. I know on the order of service something very important. That this meeting is convened by both the BCSC and the FPC. It also contains in the front page a very important verse, 1 Samuel 7, verse 12. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. These are very appropriate words on this occasion, for the Lord has helped us all. And so we raise our Ebenezer to the Lord today, our tribute of praise to Almighty God for His hand of blessing on both the Bible Christian Faith Church and the Free Presbyterian Church.
I first met the work here in Kenya some 32 years ago through the Reverend George Kendigore and his son Andrew. I was asked by our presbytery to meet with them and to ascertain what needs they would have for their missionary work. They explained a number of things, but three things stand out in my mind. One, they wanted missionaries. Two, they needed vehicles. And three, they required uniforms for the starting of the school. When this was reported to our presbytery, it seemed an impossible undertaking. But today, 30 years on, the Lord has wonderfully given to us the privilege to send missionaries, to provide vehicles, and also to give uniforms to the children.
You will understand that this is a very emotional time for me. I thought when I first met the late Margaret Armstrong in the 1970s, and it was at the Easter Convention that she first approached me about the possibility of helping the church in Kenya that she had known of. And I remember at the break we spoke with Dr. Paisley on this, and he encouraged us to go ahead and to bring some of the men. Margaret paid for their fares to come, Reverend George and Reverend Andrew Kendigore to visit around our church. And they come into our town of Kilkeel. And the people in Kilkeel had hardly ever saw a black man before. And they said, are these men here to start a business? And there was a lot of talk. But in the providence of God, Margaret was not allowed to see the work established as we see it today. All things work together for good. And Margaret was taken home to glory. I was thinking of this meeting. And I was told that I had to speak Kiduga. But I have learned after coming 25 years to Kenya that Kiduga means
love.
That if people say I'll meet you at 1 o'clock, usually 4 o'clock. So I have learned by experience. What great things he has worked amongst BCFC. What blessings he has sent to you. None of us deserve it, but God just chose to take us up and use us, and to take the church up and use it here. Reverend Kendigore is a brother beloved. He is a man that God has sent to lead the work here. Honor him. And pray for him. That the Lord will bless him in the days that lie ahead. We have another thing in common. Neither of us have any money, so don't come looking for it. Ακούμε λέει ότι ο Βέτιο Μάια έχουν πέσα, ο Βέτιο Ζήνε μου τα πέσα πόρα. I have eight sisters.
Yeye ana madada wanane.
I count Margaret as a sister too.
Na mwezangu Margaret mwezangu kama dada yangu pia.
You know the one thing about sisters?
Unajua kitu kimoja kuhusu madada?
They know how to tell you off.
Unajua namna ya kukukuza.
And many a time she told me off.
Na mara nyingi alinikuza.
But we came here and we brought back a good report.
Lakini tulikuja hapa na tukapata habari nzuri.
It was that good Margaret said I'm going to go.
Na wakati huo dada yetu Margaret alisema nitaenda.
And she went.
Na akaenda akakuja.
And she saw.
Akaona.
And she stayed.
Na akakaa.
Very glad to be part of this missionary tour group that has come out to Kenya.
Mafuraha kuwa kati ya katika safari hii ya kimishonari ya wale ambao walikuja hapa Kenya.
And I would like to thank everyone who has given us such a warm welcome. We have been told to feel at home. And we really do feel at home here in Kenya. And as we look back over the past 30 years, we want to lift our heart in thanksgiving to God for His faithfulness. We're here today because God is faithful. And God has remembered us in our labors for Him over these past 30 years. And without His blessing upon us, we are nothing. In Bible Christian Faith Church, and in the Free Presbyterian Church Mission Board, in all of our united endeavors in the cause of Christ, we can say concerning every aspect of the work that God has been faithful. Of course, as a mission board, we want to thank God for our brethren and sisters in the Bible Christian Faith Church. We thank God for a people who stand for the great historic truths of the Reformed Christian faith. As a mission board, we are pleased that we are marking 30 years since our sister, Miss Russell, has come to Kenya. And she came to gather some of that gospel fruit, speaking personally, of course, as her brother-in-law, and collectively for the mission board. Thank God for His blessing upon her labors. Today we lack commitment in the cause of Christ. People come, people go. How many people come into the church and leave it? But our sister has shown great dedication and commitment to her calling.
I have a lot to say.
Nina mengi ya kusema.
So, if I'm able.
Ikiwa nitaweza.
I would just like, on behalf of the missionary team today, to thank the Lord for all His goodness to us as a missionary team, and for how He has undertaken for us and kept His hand upon us. We have had health, we've had safety, and we've had God's hand upon our labours. The Lord has been good. And I always think of that verse in Acts 26 and verse 22. Having obtained help of God, we continue to this day. It is the Lord's help. There's others here today that I would like to thank. As I look down upon this team of visitors from Ulster and England, as I look at their faces, and actually when I got the list of names who were coming, I thought of how many have influenced me in my life and have helped me and encouraged me. I would first of all like to thank my family. There are 8 of us, 6 girls, and you can imagine when we disagree what happens, but we're very close and I'm happy that 2 of them have come today. You know, my brother Bertie had a bright idea one day that they would all come, but I didn't think that would ever happen. And then he said, well, maybe Shirley would come, but he didn't really believe it. But she's here today. And my family have been very supportive of me. And when I think about my late mother, what we are today is in many ways their influence. All these men behind me that have already spoken, they've been a great encouragement to me. You know, there was one time I was home on furlough, and something had happened in Kenya. There was a bit of unrest, and I was talking to George McConnell, and I said, well, I don't know whether I should go back or not. And he said, get on back to your work. So there was never any encouragement to stay at home. But I thank God for them all, for Dr. McElvey, my brother George, and our present officers of Mission Board, Reverend Harris and Reverend Park here. They have this work upon their hearts and they're always a great encouragement. Not to forget our moderator, Reverend Gray, with his wife Joan. But I came here when I was 29 years of age. And you know, I didn't know anything about Africa. Or really about missionary work. But Reverend Kendigore has taught me much, and I won't forget the first days in Kenya. When we went, I went to live in Cambridge, and you know, he accepted me just like his own daughter, and looked after me, and I thank him for that. And not only him, I thank all the BCFC leaders here today. Moderator, Mr. Napa, and Reverend Paraiwa, and Mr. Lachapa, and all those who are an encouragement to us and give us this opportunity to serve the Lord. I thank God for the Sunday school teacher. You know, we have almost 2,000 children in Sunday school, and I want to thank you today, and our staff here in the school, and all that we serve the Lord together with. We are laborers together with God, and it is God that has called us, and God that will give the increase. And He has given the increase. So to all of you today, I thank you. In Jesus' name.
No vision, there is no life. say, you're not alone.
My Jesus
knows just what I need.
Oh yes, he
knows just what I need.
Well, we're very glad tonight again to be here to give a further report on the work in Nepal. We spoke last night, of course, on the history of the work and some matters in relating to that, and then an overview of the work. And we certainly appreciate the opportunity once again to bring before you the blessing of God that has been upon the work there. And we'd like to thank Mr. Park for his invitation. And I count it a great privilege once more to speak on this, and it's a tremendous way to give exposure to what God is doing. And the more exposure we give to what God is doing and to the needs of the work, then the more you will pray and plead with God. And as I said last night, this was the first place that we really broke upon or told the people about the work, and broke the story of what was carried on, or what was carrying on in the land of Nepal. And we do thank you most sincerely for your prayers over the past number of years. And we just want to tonight tell you about the ordination and the setting up of the presbytery, but we must sort of take a step backwards, as it were, and give you a lead up to that particular, or those particular events. I'll just retrace some of the things I said last night. In March 2003, the Lord placed upon Paul and Mandira's heart the need to reach out to the villages of Nepal. And since that time, hundreds of villages have been reached, and over 100 churches have been formed. Some large churches, some smaller churches, but little fellowships. Our own personal involvement has been in the work since March 2006. But some people might be asking the question, how did you ever get involved in the work? How was the link made between me and the Free Presbyterian Church with Nepal? Well, my son Timothy went to Nepal at the end of 2003 on a medical elective. And you know, as I think of the link that we have with the church in Nepal, that link could never have been formed by human ingenuity. Man could never have done what has been done in regard to the connection that has been made. It is all in the providence, in the sovereignty of God. And the more I think of that, the forging of that link and the manner in which it was done, I'm convinced that God was in it from the very beginning. Whenever Timothy was there, he was in the hospital one day, and there was a man came to him in the corridor of the hospital and started to speak to him about his son. Now that his son was in the hospital, Timothy didn't know anything about him, and he regarded a case of mistaken identity. And so Timothy, he just ignored it and went on with his work. But a few days later, Timothy was transferred to another ward in the hospital. And there in that ward, he came into contact with this man again, whose son was in the ward. This man, who was looking after some children, he invited Timothy to his home to speak to these children. He agreed, went to the home. When he went to the home, the man that was there to translate and interpret for Timothy was Paul Sapa. They carried the meeting out. The meeting was over. They parted company. The night before Timothy was due to come home to Northern Ireland again, in December 2003, Timothy decided to return to the home, to this man, and to say farewell to him. He would never see him again. He went to the home. Who was in the home that night? Paul Sapa. They exchanged email addresses, and 4 months later, Paul wrote to Timothy to tell him what God was doing in Nepal. And the contact was kept up. And in November 2005, Timothy returned again, and he saw what the Lord was doing in that land. I found myself there in March 2006, preaching at a pastor's conference. And since that time, every year, there was different conferences, 2007, 2008, and then the Reverend Johnson, of course, came out, as did other men. He came out as well on one occasion to preach to the pastors. Now, the reason, of course, we were going out was to try and instruct these men in the Word of God. Now, it became very apparent to us, to me, and also to the church at home here in Ulster, that merely going once a year to speak for 5 days at a preacher's conference was not enough to train the men, the pastors there. And so it was decided to start a Bible college. And our mission board challenged me about going out to help assist in the commencement of that Bible college. And that was started in April 2010. We purchased this piece of ground, and that is the building that went on to that piece of ground. It was opened by the Reverend Ron Johnson in March 2011. Opened, I might say, absolutely free of debt. And you can see it's a fairly substantial building. The Lord provided wonderfully for its need. Now we have put some 100 men, over 100 men through the college, and 50 women through that training program. Now, it was our aim when we went out there at first to seek to train men that they might be able to do the teaching themselves. I did a lot of teaching when I went out there at first. I maybe lectured 8 or 9 lectures a week, along with Paul Sapa. He did some of the lectures. But gradually, we were able to offload that work of lecturing onto these 5 men. I am not lecturing in the ordinary subjects in the college any longer. But these men have been raised up by God to carry on that work. And that is a marvelous thing in my eyes. Never mind the other things that have happened. How the Lord has just raised up men, gifted young men. Not only gifted, but willing young men to carry on this particular work. And you can pray, certainly, for these 5 men as they carry on this work of lecturing. Now, of course, as the training has developed over the past 3 to 4 years, the people there have become more and more familiar with the teaching, the doctrine of the Free Presbyterian Church, which, of course, is based upon the Word of God. And they became convinced from the things that they were learning that they also wanted to become Free Presbyterians. And we want to come just to the formation of the Free Presbyterian Church. They made an application, incidentally, they made an application in 2008 to become Free Presbyterians, but we decided at that time that the time was not right for that. So, 4 years later, they made this application, June 2012, to become Free Presbyterians. And our mission board, our presbytery, they decided that they should become Free Presbyterians. And in September of 2012, the men, or September rather, 2013, signed an application with 23 names on it. These are the names that you see up on the sheet. 22 names asking for ordination into the Free Presbyterian ministry. And of course, these are the men, along with myself, that come out to perform the ordination. The ordination service went ahead. There was the signing of the confession of faith. And this was the ordination service itself. Those men along the bottom, they were the 22 men that were ordained to the gospel ministry on that occasion. We also, after the ordination, we got the Nepali men to sign a charter committing themselves to the stand of the Free Presbyterian Church. I'm very sorry tonight that I don't have a copy of the charter with me. I forgot it. It's at home. But it's a very historic document. And, of course, our presbytery holds a copy of that particular document. All of the men that were ordained signed this particular charter. And it really sets out the intention of the church in the future. The following day, there was a setting up of the presbytery, the Free Presbyterian Church of Nepal. This is a picture of the presbytery meeting, not just as big as ours here in Ulster, but give it time and no doubt it will increase. These 22 men formed themselves into the presbytery, and our brother Paul Thapa was elected the first moderator of the Free Presbyterian Church of Nepal. And of course, you can pray for our brother Paul that God would keep his mighty hand on him. Not only did they elect Paul as the moderator, but they elected the young man in the middle between Paul and the other man, the young man, the tallest one there, Manik. George McConnell mentioned Manik last night. A very gifted young man. And if I'm not mistaken, he can speak somewhere in the region of seven tribal languages. So he is fairly gifted and he can handle himself that way. He's maybe just about 25, but he's the clerk of the presbytery and the other man is the treasurer, Prakash Rai. And these are the men that are going to steer the work, of course, with the help of the presbytery, but they will be the men that will help to steer the work in the future. And I would like you to take these men upon your heart and pray very much that in the future they might know the wisdom of God. Now, our own personal role has changed from what it was at the beginning, just some 4 years ago. Our role then, of course, was to lecture in the Bible College. Our role now is to try and help as best we can, advise the men in the initial stages of the running of the presbytery. There are many things to do, many things to be handled, and we certainly need the wisdom of God, and we would pray like Solomon for that wisdom. Now last night, and I'm coming near to the end, you'll be glad to know. Last night I stood here and I said that, oh, it was my prayer for this weekend that God would put his hand upon 12 people, 12 young people, to go out, give themselves to the Lord that they might spread the gospel. That was my prayer. After the meeting was over, there was a young girl, a young woman came to me, 15 years of age, and she said to me, I more or less said, I'm looking for 12 young people, I'm praying. And she said to me, I'm one of those young people that you were talking about. And God put his hand upon her life last night, and she wants to give her life to spread the gospel. That's a wonderful thing, that God has put his hand upon a young woman. Remember, I spoke about a young woman last night in the presentation, Sarita Garum. Sarita is also 15 years of age. Here's a young girl in Nepal, and if I know her heart right, she's devoted to Christ. Here's another young girl devoted to Christ in this country, and that's a wonderful thing. I was thinking about that verse of Scripture, and you know the words, you know the context of those words, but where are the nine? The ten lepers that were cured by Christ, one of them come back. He came back to thank the Lord. The others were healed, but they didn't come back to thank the Lord. But where are the nine? Now, you might say, what has that got to do with missionary work? Well, I think it has a lot to do with it. We read in Psalm 116, I think it is, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Now, I'm going to change that tonight, if you'll just give me the permission to change that little statement. And I'm going to change it like this. But where are the men? Where are the men? Young man, what are you doing with your life? I was just counting up, just before I come up to speak here, counting up the vacant pulpits that will be in this province come the end of this month, when our brother the Reverend Whiteside retires in Bonbridge. There will be 10 vacant pulpits in this country. There will be 4 vacant pulpits in the mainland. Now, 10 and 4 is 14. And I ask the question, and I ask it as forcibly and as powerfully as I can, where are the men? I would long, as I said, to be young again. Oh, young man, aye, young woman, would you not come tonight and say, right, I'm going to give myself into the service of Christ. You know, being in the Lord's service is the greatest occupation in the world. You say, oh, how God's going to provide for me. I tell you, the Lord will provide for you 10,000 times over. 10,000 times over. There was a young man prayed in the prayer meeting this week, in the week of prayer. One of the students, a young man that I love dearly. He's not here tonight. I know that. That young man, as he prayed, he says, Lord, even if we have to live in a cardboard box, we'll serve you. That's the spirit. That's the spirit that there needs to be in our heart. Not how much we're going to get at the end of the month or the end of the week, but Lord, I'm prepared to give everything, everything, no matter what it costs me. You all know, and with this I'm finished, you're all familiar with the great statement that C.T. Studd made. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. Where are the men to make that sacrifice for the Lord Jesus Christ? Thank you very much for listening, and please pray for the work in Nepal.
Thank you very much, Mr. Graham, as you have spoken tonight and told us a little bit more about the work in Nepal and shared your burden with us. We have felt that burden in our own hearts. We appreciate you coming last night and tonight. And I think I can speak on behalf of all that are here that we sense and feel the challenge of what our brother has had to say. If you were like me, you maybe guessed something different that he was going to say tonight. I thought he was going to ask the question, where are the 11? Because he had asked for 12 last night. But the Lord is working. And we have vacant churches. We have great needs in the mission field. And as we pray together, that the Lord will raise up the finances. And that's very important, that our missionaries might be sustained on the mission field. We ought to pray that the Lord will raise up the personnel and send forth men and young women too to the mission field. Greatly encouraged recently I break no confidence when I just share with you, I'm not mentioning any name, but last year there was a young man from our own congregation, and he came to speak to me several times about the burden that was burning in his heart to serve the Lord and to go where the Lord would have him to go, wherever that might mean. And the Lord has been dealing with him. He certainly has a burden. He has a desire. I believe that he has ability. And all those things we will look for in the life of anyone who will seek to give their lives over to the Lord for Christian service. We need a desire. We need a burden. We need an opportunity. And we certainly need some ability. The Lord will equip us for that which he's called us to do. And we did encourage him to keep in prayer and to ask the Lord to seal that, to speak into his heart from the Word of God. And I was greatly encouraged last Lord's Day to get a text. It was almost like an essay, one of those long texts. And he had to say that the Lord has given me the call that I've been waiting for, that I should go into the ministry. And that really gladdened my heart. And we're trusting that the Lord will do that over the weekend. Not all that attend the missionary weekend are from Ballymoney. We appreciate all who come. And maybe the Lord has been speaking last night, tonight, to different young people through the Free Church. It is our prayer that God will lay his hand upon some, even as a result of this weekend, and call you into the work. We bid you welcome. We're glad to see each and every one that is here tonight. Glad to welcome our moderator and his wife, and the former moderator who is the guest speaker, Dr. Johnson, and his wife, who are here for the weekend in the ministry of the Word. And of course, the Reverend Graham and his wife. We're delighted to have the Reverend Harris, the chairman of our mission board, this evening, and other missionary council representatives and visitors from various congregations. You have the order of service, so I don't need to tell you what's happening for the rest of the weekend, but I do want to tell you about a little change that has taken place, and the two reports tomorrow are being swapped around. For the simple reason, tomorrow morning the weather forecast is going to be good, and that means the sun might be shining, and therefore a slide presentation that Glenn is going to give, giving a report on Nepal through the eyes of a photographer, will not be just as easy to be seen, as you can appreciate. But when the evening comes, it will be dark and we'll be able to see it. So Sarah and Glenn are swapping around their roles tomorrow, and Sarah will be giving a report on her visit to the land of Kenya, and Glenn will speak about Nepal. The magazine tells the story, and we want to thank all who have contributed to it. The history outlined by the Reverend Graham, the testimony of the Reverend Paul Thapa, good to read that, be challenged by it. Our moderator who wrote on the ordinations and the new presbytery, the youth conference report, the precious orphanage report from Brother George, the Bible College, our chairman of the mission board, and also the work of Let the Bible Speak. Reverend Curran has reported on that. And then there's a report also that we brought in this magazine on the village churches. It was a thrill to go there 5 years ago when there was no building, and to go back just there in November and to see the wee building that they've put up to the glory of God. Take the History magazine. It's a kind of a keepsake. You'll want to keep it and remember what God has done. I don't know whether, if the Lord permits me to live on, that I'll ever see anything like this again as far as the Free Church is concerned. Who would have ever thought that from the land of Nepal there would be a group of 100 churches and fellowships who would say to the Ulster Presbytery, we want to be Free Presbyterian. And despite all our faults, and with many, yet they have seen something in the church and what we stand for, what we believe, that they can very readily identify with. And they say, we want your doctrine, we want your way of worship, we want to be like you. And that's a very humbling thing. And these folks have come in as a new Free Presbyterian Church of Nepal, and we do certainly remember them before the Lord in prayer. Just a few quick announcements. Our brother, the Reverend David McMillan, has published a little booklet called The Paper Pulpit. I think there's about 30 different little articles in it. These are articles that appeared in the newsletter, and they are articles which have an emphasis in evangelism and reaching the lost. And he did suggest that folks might like to get them, give them to unsaved members of the family or friends to read. There is a £3 charge that is required, but there's a number of copies there at the door. Please avail yourself of it and put the £3 in the basket that's there. I forgot to mention last night there's a few of these calendars left for 2014. It's a little desk calendar, and the feature there is on the land of Kenya. And this is produced by the Ballymena congregation. And there's a few left, as I said. They're £5 each. It all goes, all the proceeds go to the missionary work in Kenya. There is a prayer card. If you haven't got it already, to remember the Reverend Mrs. Graham before God, there's some sitting on the table out there. Maybe you have a place in your home where you put these on a notice board, maybe on your fridge, in your Bible, and you remember our missionaries in prayer. Well, they certainly will say to you, pray for us. And we have a duty to hold the ropes in prayer and ask the Lord's blessing to be upon them and what they do. Then could I mention the special missionary night, special missionary rally in Ballymena Free Presbyterian Church on Friday, the 28th of February. And the purpose of this is to highlight the Free Presbyterian missionary endeavour. The focus will be in the recent visits to Kenya and Nepal. And that particular night there will be other angles looked at, different people taking part. There will be multimedia presentations and reports given, and special missionary projects announced. There are things to be involved in, and the Lord has blessed us all to be able to give. We're talking about, when we think of these two countries, about developing countries. They are by and large poor people, and when you enter upon a capital project, it's very difficult for the people in the country to find the finance. And we're going to tell you how you can be involved as an individual, as a church, as a youth fellowship, as a Sunday school. If you have a ladies' fellowship, there are projects that you could say, well, there's something I could do and be involved in. And it's just spreading the burden of the various needs across the denomination. We want you to come to that. We want you to bring others with you. We want an excellent attendance of young and old from all of our churches throughout Northern Ireland. So please keep it in mind and plan towards it. There's many, many needs, and we need to pray, Lord, what will thou have me to do? I think that's all by way of announcement. We're going to have an offering, and the offering will go this weekend in its entirety to the works that are represented this weekend at Nepal, Kenya, and Australia. And you will know that there's a great need to relocate the orphanage. And a piece of ground that has been proposed will cost £80,000. It is a city, and so we're talking about city prices for a plot of ground. But it is necessary that this orphanage is relocated. We could tell you more about that and go into the detail, but just share the burden. And but we know that money has come in already towards that, and we do rejoice in the Lord. And there are other needs in Nepal, as we think about even the churches. There are many churches there, and some of the congregations have got their money together, and they've bought a plot of ground. Just like 5 years ago when we went, they had a desire to get this little plot of ground and build a church on it. And 5 years later, that was accomplished, and that was done. And some of the help, of course, came from Northern Ireland. And that has been so. The Reverend Graham could tell you about the little churches that they've helped, and the money has come from this country. Just by way of encouragement, way back last year, there was a minister who had a particular project in mind, and when he talked to me about it one night at Presbytery, he said, well, we'll be able to get you, and he named a certain amount of money for it. And just last week, at the week of prayer, he rang me, and he was asking me about the project, and I said to him, I think that there's about £3,000 outstanding for that particular project. And we talked to him about Nepal, we talked about the orphanage, but the particular church had lifted this money particularly for building churches in developing countries. And he said to me, I tell you what I will do. We will send you £8,000 to help with the building of churches in Nepal. We will send you £3,000 to finish the project that we had mentioned to him. And during the course of the conversation, I discovered that there was actually £12,000 in mind. So I did say to him, well, you know, it costs about £900 to buy a motorbike for a pastor. And he says, well, we'll send you another £1,000 for that. So the Lord is meeting many, many of the needs, and these congregations and people are entering in upon the burden and the projects. And we trust that that night in Ballymena will be blessed of God as various reports are given and the projects are set before us. The offering hymn is Far and Near, the Fields Are Teeming. With the waves of ripened grain, far and near, their gold is gleaming o'er the sunny slope and plain. What's our prayer? It's the prayer that the Lord encourages to pray about. Lord of harvest, send forth reapers. Hear us, Lord, to thee we cry. God's people, we do appeal to you tonight to pray what the Saviour has asked us to pray. We see the shortage of ministers here in Northern Ireland, pulpits that are vacant. We see the great need abroad. What do we do when the labourers are few? The Saviour said, pray. And we have this bounden duty to get before God, all of our congregations, and pray this matter through. We'll keep our seats as the offering is taken. Yeah, if you're following the order service, just to remind you, there's been one little misprint, and the preacher tonight is not the Reverend Harris. That's what you get for cutting and pasting. You know you can make these mistakes. But the preacher is the man who is with us for the weekend from Newton Ards, our former moderator, Dr. Ron Johnson. And it's a delight to have him and to have his wife this weekend, former missionary. And as he comes to speak, I know he has a word from God for your heart and mine. May the Lord help us to give ourselves over by the grace of God to the word of God tonight, and that we will feel the impact of this meeting and what the Lord has for us at this time. For the Lord is speaking, and he's speaking by the power of the Holy Ghost. May we have ears to hear what he's saying.
We're turning to the book of Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah chapter 52. While you're turning to it, could I just commend your minister, your session, the congregation here, because this missionary convention doesn't just happen. It takes planning, takes effort, takes work. And indeed, we do thank you for the work that you put in to this convention each year. Now, Isaiah 52, just going to read one verse, verse 7. Isaiah 52, verse 7, it speaks about mountains. And we've been hearing, of course, about Nepal, that mountainous region. Isaiah 52, verse 7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for this wonderful verse. And Lord, we pray that thou would write these truths upon our heart tonight. The importance of carrying the gospel, the importance of our feet being dedicated to the Lord. We thank thee for this wonderful teaching of thy word, that we sinners can be redeemed and be used in thy service. Lord, bless us now as we turn to thy word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Just in case you weren't here last night, we're taking for all the meetings the portrait of a missionary. The picture of a missionary. What does a missionary look like? Well, they come in all shapes and sizes and sorts. But what we mean is there's something spiritually about their features that set them out. And we went to Acts chapter 10 by way of introduction to look at Peter. What a great missionary he was. We saw that his eyes saw a vision. We saw that his ears heard the voice of the Spirit of God speaking to him. We saw that his feet went on a journey to carry the gospel, to go to where Cornelius was. We read the verse where it says he opened his mouth. So there's something about a missionary's eyes, their ears, their feet, their mouth. Of course, there's other features we could bring too, but those are the four we're looking at. And last evening we looked at the ear of a believer. We looked, of course, at the perfect missionary, his ear. His ear was opened to the commandments, and we thought about his ear being opened to the cry of the needy. Tonight, in verse 7 of Isaiah 52, it mentions feet. And you can recognize a missionary by their feet. You can recognize a missionary by their feet. Now, there are all sorts of feet. Large feet, small feet, long feet, short feet, lean feet, pudgy feet. They're all different types of feet. I could say some people have strange-looking feet. It may surprise you that there are some people get paid for modeling their feet in various adverts and so on. But there's something special about a missionary's feet. Now, on a scale from 1 to 10, 1 being ugly, 10 being beautiful, how beautiful are your feet? Ever thought about that? Well, this verse tells us that God considers his servant's feet as beautiful, not because of the shape or anything like that, but because the feet are carrying the messenger with the message of the gospel upon the mountains to needy souls, publishing the glad tidings. It's beautiful because of what they do. So tonight, we want to spend a few moments being, as it were, a spiritual podiatrist. I have to admit, I didn't know that word until a few years ago. The doctor said, look, you need an appointment with a podiatrist. And I, what? I used to call them chiropodist, but apparently the new name is podiatrist. This actually happened. Someone close to me, they had a bad back, and they went in, they saw this sign, and they went in, and they said to the secretary, could make an appointment. Oh, what's the problem? Oh, I have a very bad back. She said, this isn't a chiropractor, it's a chiropodist. We look after feet. So he realized he was in the wrong place. But anyway, to examine our feet before the Lord. Examine our feet. There's a verse in Proverbs 6:13 that says, he speaketh with his feet. And your feet say a lot about you. Doctors claim they could look at someone's feet for early signs of diabetes and other illnesses. And they can look at the feet and diagnose them. So tonight, for a few moments, let's think about the feet mainly of the missionary. But first of all, I believe that this verse 7 refers primarily to the greatest missionary who came from heaven's glory down to this earth to publish glad tidings of great joy. So let's think firstly of his feet. Back to Genesis 3:15. We obviously tonight don't have much time to turn to many verses, but Genesis 3:15, one of the greatest verses in Scripture, one of the most important verses in Scripture. We could say the rest of Scripture has to do with the fulfillment of this great prophecy. And you know what it tells us? The first part of the body of our Savior to be mentioned in Scripture is his heel. It's his heel. Genesis 3:15. God is actually speaking directly to Satan, but Adam and Eve are listening after they'd sinned and fallen. And look what God says. A wonderful promise, Genesis 3:15. Satan, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is a prophecy. Prophecy that a deliverer would come. And that deliverer would be a unique child, because he would be the seed of woman. You know, there's scores of times in the Bible where it speaks of someone as the seed of man, but this special deliverer would be the seed of woman. You have the prophecy of the virgin birth. Our Lord Jesus Christ was born of Mary, but conceived of the Holy Ghost. Ah, but look at the heel here. There's a promise that there would be a conflict. The heel of our Savior. You think of the wonder of that. The wonder of that. That God the Son came into this world and he took a human nature. A body was prepared for him. And that child that lay in the manger is the great Creator. God the Son. God manifest in flesh. Do you know they tell us that every footprint is unique? Job, in his book, talked about the print of the foot, the print of the foot, of the heels of his feet. We have a little picture or a little card at home when one of our children were born. The particular hospital, immediately the baby's born, they get a heel print. Because they say the heel print of every person is as unique as your fingerprints. But there's something unique about the heel prints of our Savior, because he's God in human flesh. Thank God for the mystery of the incarnation. But think of the walk of the Savior's feet. He walked this dusty scene of time. He who created this world. He walked the roads of Israel. He went about doing good. The uniqueness of his feet is this. He always walked in the paths of righteousness. He never walked in the paths of sin. But he went about doing good. He went about preaching in the cities. His feet walked upon the mountains, publishing glad tidings. He preached the gospel to the needy. He healed. I think of the Samaritan woman.
He must needs go through Samaria. He went out of his way to walk a long distance to meet that lady at the well and to bring her the gospel of saving grace. Oh, thank God for the walk of our Saviour's feet upon earth. But in Genesis 3:15, the primary emphasis is the wounding of the heel. Satan shall bruise his heel, but the heel of the coming deliverer, remember this was back, way back at the beginning, it's prophesied that the heel of the coming redeemer will crush Satan's head. The idea is of pain hitting the heel. I still remember many years ago in Papua New Guinea, the men, of course, and women had no shoes there. Their feet were like leather. But now and again, even I remember a jungle boot wearing and a big thorn going through the sole of it, the rubber. And so one night, I remember, Manwa was his name. He came hobbling that a thorn had gone right into his heel. And I'll never forget my wife getting, of course, sterilizing and so on, and getting a razor blade cutting right through that. It was like an inch of leather as it was in the bottom of his foot and the screams of the man, but he needed the thorn out. The pain. The pain. The idea here is, of course, of a figure of a snake bite. I remember in Papua New Guinea meeting, it was actually an Australian school teacher, about a week after he had been bitten by a death adder. Said how it was actually a fairly civilized part of the country. But he felt a little bite on his foot and he went into the house in the dark and he thought, and there were people there, he says, oh, a rat or something must have bitten me. He said, do you feel any pain? No, get to the hospital. It's a snake. He said, no, I don't feel too bad. Within 5 minutes, he told me personally of the vomiting, the sickness, the extreme agony, where he wanted to scream with pain, and how they brought him quickly. Fortunately, he was near a civilized part, 8 miles to the hospital. The doctors didn't even wait to get the key. They broke the lock. They gave him the antidote. They sent for more. A week later, when I met him, his foot was still swollen, but he described the awful agony. And this is the picture here, that God says one day, Satan, you're going to bruise the Savior's heel. And we think of the sufferings our Savior endured on that tree. But I want you to notice the text 3:15. It's God that says, I will put this enmity. God planned Calvary. God planned Calvary. But I'm saying, the verse is saying that Satan will bruise that tender heel. And tonight we think of the sufferings of our blessed Savior upon that tree. But here's the great message of Genesis 3:15. The blessed heel of our Savior. It's the idea. You see the picture. Satan, as an old serpent, strikes our Savior's heel, causing intense pain. But thank God the heel of our Savior came down and smashed Satan's head at Calvary. Thank God for the great mystery of the gospel, that Satan is a defeated foe and Christ won the victory. His heel won the victory. We thank God for that. His heel won the victory. He is wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. All things are under his feet, the book of Ephesians say. We thank God for the Savior's feet. I believe Isaiah chapter 52 is speaking about Christ. But turn over to Romans 10 for a moment. Book of the New Testament, Romans, in chapter 10. And this is a passage about, of course, the gospel. Many of us know verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, as the verse was used the night I came to Christ. But then in verse 14 of Romans 10, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now watch verse 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Ah, this is now the missionary. Oh, we looked at Christ, the pattern. But now this is the servant. This is the servant. The missionary going forth. But you know, before a missionary can go forth, he has to come to the Savior's feet. We read in Scripture of different ones that came and fell at the Savior's feet, and he healed them. The basic qualification of a missionary is they have to know what it is to be drawn by the Holy Spirit to fall at the Saviour's feet and receive forgiveness of sins and come into union with him. But then I read in the New Testament, for instance, of Mary, of the former demonic from the place called Gadarenes, and they're sitting at the Saviour's feet being taught. Oh, it's important before someone can go out to preach that we be taught the Word of God. To get not only taught through the lips of preachers the Word, but it's Christ speaking through them. Christ speaking through them. There's a lovely verse in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 that Christ came and preached peace to you. Well, Christ didn't literally go bodily, but he preached through the missionaries who came. Have you sat at the feet of Christ tonight? Do you sit at his feet? Maybe there's someone here tonight and you haven't been at his feet in the sense of coming and casting yourself as a poor sinner, calling upon him to save you. Oh, come tonight to his feet. Come to his feet that were bruised on Calvary. But then sit at his feet. And then I think of Mary. She brought the ointment and she worshipped at the Saviour's feet. I think of Thomas as he was at the Saviour's feet and he saw the scars of the nail prints. And what did it say? My Lord and my God. And then I think, of course, of the disciples as well. We read in the end of some of the Gospels that when the risen Saviour appeared to them and they saw him and they saw the nail prints and the prints in his feet, they fell at his feet and worshipped him. Oh, it's absolutely necessary that all our missionaries, all believers, that we get to his feet and worship and adoration. And do you know what happened when the disciples got to his feet? I don't have time to turn to the Luke 24 and John 20, read those chapters. When they fell at the Saviour's feet, the Saviour spoke words of peace and joy, and he commissioned them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. In fact, in Matthew's gospel, he turned to them and he said, all power is given unto me, all authority, go ye into all the world. You see, a missionary has to recognize that the one whose feet were nailed to that cross, he reigns. Missionary goes forth with confidence because we sang it tonight in the hymn. All authority is his. Do you know it's very interesting that in Egyptian hieroglyphics, you know that pictorial language that they have carved and pyramids and so on, the symbol for sovereignty are 2 feet upon water. Of course, our Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry walked upon the water. But the point is I'm making, when the disciples got to the Saviour's feet and worshipped him, they heard the Saviour assure them, all power is given unto me. Go ye, and lo, I am with you all. I was reading just last week, mentioned it in my own church last week, read it again. June the 14th, just forget the date, 1840-something, when David Livingstone, they said there was a hostile tribes people were going to attack them the next morning. He wrote in his journal, I've been warned there's going to be an attack in the morning, but I remembered the verse in Matthew, all power is given unto me. Lo, I am with you alway. And he said, it's the word of a gentleman. And I lay down to go to sleep calmly. That's the confidence a missionary needs. You only get that confidence when you come to the Saviour's feet. Think of the Saviour's feet tonight, the pattern missionary. How we need to get to his feet. See what all that means. Thirdly and lastly, what about the missionary's feet? Romans 10:17 has said there's something beautiful about the missionary's feet. Now, I'm not asking you to go examining all our missionaries' feet tonight. They can do that when they go to the doctor or whatever. But there's something beautiful about those that carry the gospel. We think when it's in Nepal, my wife and I were there some years ago, and how humbling it is to meet these men, to meet these ladies, to realize the long distances that they traveled to get to the conference. Hours and hours, and those little vans, little minibuses,
the long distances that they have to walk for hours to get the gospel into the villages. Oh, we thank God for every technological advance. We thank God for CDs, for the radio ministry, and so on like that. Indeed, in our own congregation, some of the young people under Janice MacArthur, 2 years ago, I think it was, we raised, I just forget now, it was up in the high 1,000 and something, quite a bit over the 1,000, for little radios to send into the villages. Oh yes, it's good, all these technological advances that we can use, but you know, primarily, feet on the ground. We talk about that in army. You need feet on the ground. We need men and women to go. We need missionaries to go with the gospel. You see, you read in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22 that Christ also suffered for us, leaving an example that ye should follow in his steps. And as Christ is the pattern going about, doing good, preaching the gospel, so the missionary is to go out and to follow Christ's steps, to walk as he walked, to bring the gospel into these places. You know, in one place in Luke 24, when the disciples fell at the Savior's feet and then he began to teach, we read in Luke 24 that he opened the Old Testament and he told them, and I mentioned this last night, but we need to repeat it again, that the Old Testament can be summarized like this, that Messiah must suffer, die, and be raised, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached among all nations. Do you know there's some even Bible schools today, and they would say that the Old Testament knows nothing about missionary work. You wonder, do they read the Bible? The message of the Old Testament, oh, we know the stories, David and Abraham and Isaac, all the stories, and yet the theme Christ said of the Old Testament is that it's our duty to get the gospel to the whole world. That's what motivated the disciples to go. Well then, what about your feet? How involved are you in getting the gospel out? That's the question tonight. That's the question that Wesley put to you. How involved are you? Are you interested? Are you involved? Have you invested yourself to get in, to get the gospel out? It doesn't say the beauty of a believer's eyes or his lips or his ears. God says how beautiful are the feet of those that carry the gospel. And God's method is still to use individuals. Now, we talked about Peter. Do you know what's interesting? When you get to the book of Acts, and if you don't know these chapters, you read them. Chapter 8, 9, and 10. And a good part of chapter 11. It's taken up with the testimony of three men. Maybe you wonder, well, why did Luke spend so much time about the individual testimonies of three men? Could he not have told us about the other disciples, where they went preaching? It's very important. Because in the stories of those three men, you have something very interesting. You'll read in chapter 8, behold, an Ethiopian. Then you'll read in chapter 9, and Saul. Then you'll read in chapter 10, Cornelius. You see, one was an African, one was what was then called Asia, an Asian, one was a European from Italy. But they all had the same problem, sin. And they all needed to hear the same preaching, Christ. And in each of the cases, an individual was sent to them. Oh, you say, but Paul saw a bright light and the Lord appeared. Yes, but God still sent a man to him. And if you read those chapters, here's something interesting for you to do. Pick out the words. You'll read that the Holy Spirit came to Peter. We read it last night and it said, arise, Peter, and go. And he got up onto his feet and he went. And he preached Jesus. You'll read about Philip. That was chapter 10. We worked to chapter 8. You'll read about Philip. The Holy Spirit said, Philip, go to the chariot there in the desert. Of course, he had to make a long journey down first from where he was in Samaria. And you know what Philip did? He got on his feet and he went. And you think in chapter 9, Ananias was praying. He was praying, and as he prayed, God said, Ananias,
Behold, there's a man called Saul. I wonder what Ananias think. Oh, that's interesting. There's a Saul who's persecuting everybody. The Lord said, there's a man, Saul of Tarsus. Go! The same word in all three instances. God spoke to an individual believer and said, you go, you go, you go. God spoke to them. And they got on their feet and they went. We're talking about feet tonight. Have you heard the voice of God telling you to go? Interesting in those stories. Really is amazing. Those three testimonies. Because Peter, he had to go to another town. But he went. Philip had to go all the way from Samaria, away, way down, if you know the map, into the desert. But he went. Ananias just had to go to another street in the same city. But he went. Across the street or across the sea, here am I, O Lord, send me. Used to be a missionary chorus that we sang. Oh, they were willing to go. They were willing to go. Now, what about your feet tonight? We talked last night and we took time to look at the Old Testament about how the priests were set aside for their work. We pointed out that in the New Testament, every Christian is a New Testament priest to serve the Lord. And that ceremony about the ear, was spoken the ear last night, how the right ear was anointed with blood. Ah, but listen, the big toe of the right foot, the blood was put upon it. Christian, do you know that your feet are marked by the blood of Christ? Now, the Old Testament priest, that was just a picture of the blood of the ram of consecration. But your feet are blood marked. Didn't Paul write, ye are not your own. You're bought with a price. The Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary to purchase you, to redeem you. And you know, that includes your body. You belong to Him. Your body belongs to Him. Your ears, your eyes, your feet. That's what practical sanctification is. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little feet, where you go. That's what practical sanctification is. I belong to the Lord now. There's a lovely story of a man before he became a preacher when he was at high school. The local school had a dance. And they said, you're coming along to the local dance, aren't you? He says, no. What do you mean all the other classmates are going to the dance? Why are you not coming? Well, I've no feet. They looked at him and thought he was mad, but he was standing there. What do you mean you've no feet? You've two of them. No, I don't. And they still didn't know what he was talking about. And they'd given an opportunity to witness and say, no, these feet don't belong to me. One day I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and He owns me. And I've presented my body to Him as a living sacrifice, and my feet belong to the Lord. Have you ever said, do you realize that, young person, tonight? That's what walking with the Lord means, that you walk in His ways. You belong to Him. You belong to Him. The late Lindsay Glegg was a famous preacher. I heard him when I was a boy. Teenagers, he did something the same. He's a businessman, but also a preacher, and they asked for him to train these other businessmen to play cards with him. And he was reading the paper. He said, I've no hands. And one of them said, are you trying to be smart? Are you trying to be art? He says, no, no, I'm serious. He said, what are you talking? And he had the opportunity for nearly an hour to witness to the three men. These hands were bought by the Savior's blood. They belong to Him. Have you ever asked the Lord what He wants to do with His hands? Are you praying tonight, Lord, what do you want me to do with your feet? You say, they're my feet. No, they're your feet. They're the Lord's feet. Because He died for you, to purchase you. Surely you'll not be a thief tonight and say, I'll do what I want with my own life. Christ died to purchase you. But the right big toe
The foot of the priest was not only anointed, or the blood upon it, the oil. The oil. Oh, that's a symbol of God, the Holy Spirit. Symbol of God, the Holy Spirit. Maybe you say, well, I've heard these missionaries speak, but I wouldn't have the qualifications that they have. I don't have the gifts they have. I wouldn't be able to do this. I wouldn't be able to go. You can. Not in your own strength. The Lord, when he's here upon earth, there was men who were lame. You know what the Lord said? Stand up and walk. But I can't, I'm lame. But they could. Because when the Lord speaks, he gives the power. He gives the power. And thank God those men were able to walk. Oh, there's a lovely verse over in Romans 16 that says, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Thank God in Nepal, Satan's been bruised. By the church or by Christ? Well, it's Christ in the church. It's standing in to Christ's victory, defeating him. Focus on his feet tonight. Focus on the Saviour's feet. That's the key to missionary work. That's the key to everything. Think of the Saviour's feet. Crucified for us. Get to his feet. Worship at his feet. Listen to his voice. That those feet nailed for us. And say, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all, shall have my feet. To walk in his commandments, to work for him, to carry me to witness for him. That you'll say to the Lord, take my feet. So send I you. Well, are you going? Are you going? Now, when I was young, sometimes this didn't happen too often, but sometimes you would say, asked to do something and you're so busy. Do you ever have your mother or father come and say, listen, I told you, now stand on your feet and get on with it. Never heard, ever, maybe you're all so good you never had that said to you. Get up on your feet and get on with it. Stop lazing about. Get to work. Get onto your feet. I wonder tonight, is the Lord saying that to you? It's time to get onto your feet and go. It's time to get on your feet and go. Will you ask the Lord what he would have you to do? Will you say tonight, Lord, you died to purchase me. I'm presenting, as we said last night, my body to you. And if you want my feet to walk the mountains of Nepal, I'll go. If you want them to walk the roads in Kenya, I'll go. Wherever it is that you want me to go, Lord, I'm willing. Take my feet and make them willing to be used of thee. Let's just pray in prayer as your minister comes. Let's just bow for a moment. Father, we do thank thee for the great truth that Genesis 3:15 was fulfilled. All through the Old Testament, the believers were looking forward to that day when the seed of woman would crush Satan's head. And we thank thee we can look back and read of Calvary. And, O Lord, we thank thee that his feet were wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Lord, help us to sit at our Saviour's feet. Help us, O Lord, to even worship at thy feet. But, Lord, tonight we pray that we'd realize that our feet are blood-bought, that we had no anointing of the Holy Spirit. And, Lord, from this meeting tonight there would be many who would say, with the Holy Spirit's help, by thy grace, Lord, we're willing to get up onto our feet. And Lord, if thou wilt give the strength, We feel our lameness. We feel our weakness. Lord, we feel our inability. But, O Lord, speak strength into our spiritual feet and enable us to go for Thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. We're turning to the closing hymn tonight. We'll just sing three verses. One, and then on the right-hand side, you'll see the verse 3, and then down in the bottom left, verse 5, in that order. 1, 3, and 5, so send I you. And we trust that the Lord will bless His word that we've heard. We'll take heed to it, we'll obey it. We still need feet on the ground. And that is so true. The priority for the Christian church hasn't changed. And today's warfare, it's not the first priority any longer to put feet on the ground. In fact, they don't want to, when they're invading a country, to put feet on the ground. They want to bomb from a distance. And there's many of God's people that want to maybe do the work of God at a distance, but the Lord still needs feet right on the ground. May the Lord call you. Where are the 9? Where are the men? Where are the 11? Where are the young people? May the Lord send you forth even tonight from this service. 1, 3, and 5. So send I you. Let's stand to our feet. Bow together before the Lord. If God has spoken to you last night, tonight, or maybe has been dealing with you for a period of time, we would love to know it, to be able to help you, encourage you. Come and see us, talk to the preacher, talk to the other ministers that are here, moderators here. We want to help you all we can. Remember these works that we're thinking about this weekend in Kenya, in Australia, Nepal. Remember our sister Joanne tonight, who's with us again. She travels back at the beginning of the week to Liberia. Lord, we want to give thanks for the mercies that we have had this weekend. How good it has been for us to be here and to sit at the Saviour's feet and to learn from Him. We thank Thee for the challenge that we felt in our heart afresh regarding the work of God, We thank the Lord for the feet that you've given to us, that we might carry the gospel to needy souls, both here at home and further afield. We pray that thou wilt help us to know that we are the Lord's tonight. We think of one of the lines of this hymn that says, "So send I you to lose your life and mine." Lord, may that be so. May we realize that our bodies in their entirety, our wills, our minds, our hearts, our souls, our inclinations, everything that we are, anything that we could ever hope to be, it's the Lord's. And help us to give ourselves afresh to the Lord, no matter who we are as God's people, to labor for the Lord, where we are, where he's called us to. And from this weekend, put your hand of grace upon young lives. Bring them into the work. Lord, we pray for feet on the ground. We pray to the Lord of the harvest tonight that he will send forth laborers into his harvest, and that thou wilt gather unto thyself that great innumerable people for whom the Lord Jesus Christ has bled upon the cross of Calvary for. Accept our thanks for tonight's meeting, for all that we've heard. Continue to burden our hearts this weekend. And come, Lord, with power to all of our congregations tomorrow. Bless every minister of Christ, every preacher of the gospel, every student that will take up your word. Lord, may it be a high day in the service of the Savior. Accept our thanks for the good things that have been provided. Bless them to us, for Jesus' sake. Amen.